Welcome to the Fed Life Podcast with Dan Seip from Serving Those Who Serve. In this podcast, Dan draws from years of financial experience to help federal employees overcome challenges that every Fed can relate to. Join us for this journey as we reach, teach, and serve to help you make the right financial decisions. Now, on to the show.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Fed Life Podcast. I am your host, Dan Seip. Additionally, I'm the branch manager here at Serving Those Who Serve and Lee Seip & Associates. Thank you for taking time to listen. And again, as I always like to do, I want to thank you for your service. You simply do not hear that enough. I know podcasts aren't supposed to be put out there with dates and times and that sort of thing, but in this particular situation, Ed and I are in remote locations because we are here in Maryland, adjacent to the District of Columbia, with the feds that we serve, and we are complying with the order to social distance, so we are working remotely. The other thing that I want to say thank you about is I know, because I'm a student of history, that you, the career feds, will be on the front line of all of the efforts as our country and our society recovers from the blow that we've taken from coronavirus. You have always been there. I know you always will be there. You are the hearts and hands of the executive branch, and you do not get thanked enough, but I will thank you one more time. We will get through this. The one thing that I absolutely know is that the American people and our society has a 1,000 batting average coming back from the things that are setbacks for us. So thank you for that part. And let's get in while we are in the process of our entire SWS team working remotely, you will see that we are cranking out content like it's going out of style because we know you're home too. And we want to make sure that we have the information that's going to be valuable to you about some of the bills and legislations that are coming through, but also life goes on and you still want to have a comfortable, dignified retirement and financial life. And that's what we're here to help you do. We are back again today with the guru, the incomparable Ed Zirndorfer, as part of our ongoing mission to reach, teach, and serve you. And to say at the outset, as I always need to say, the opinions of our guest, Ed Zirndorfer, are not necessarily the opinions of Raymond James or Serving Those Who Serve. This podcast is presented for information only and is not to be meant to be taken as advice. All of our listeners should consult their personal advisors before taking any action, although Ed's advice usually is spot on and very awesome. So, this is part one of a two-part podcast covering the topic of taxes. In particular, this one will be information on the IRS Notice 2020-18, the extended filing and payment deadline, and we'll also be covering making withdrawals and rollovers from TSP in the second part of it. But this one will be digging into the IRS extension as a result of the COVID-19 outbreak. And folks, we all know Ed is a wellspring of knowledge about federal benefits, but don't forget he is also an enrolled agent with the IRS, so he knows his stuff when it comes to taxes, and so that I make my compliance department happy again. That being said, none of this podcast is meant to be taken as advice, so please consult your own tax professional. Before we jump in on this in detail, as we typically do, this podcast will mirror Ed's FedZone articles, and we've been popping them up as fast. Ed is writing like crazy to get the good stuff out to you. So don't worry if you're not in a position to write things down. And as a matter of fact, with some of the chewy topics that we're going to be covering when it comes to taxes and withdrawals and things like that, probably not a bad idea to have Ed's written material on screen or in hand when you listen to this and go through the two. So, wow, Ed, there's quite a bit of information and questions most likely regarding IRS 2020-18, which was announced on March 20th, so let's go. In a nutshell, can you explain what 2020-18 is about?
Yes, Dan. As you said, last Friday, March 20th, the IRS and IRS Notice 2020-18 made some announcements regarding 2019 federal income tax filings. Actually, the week before, they made an announcement saying that if anybody owed any money regarding the balance due on a federal income tax return, They could have up to July 15, 2020 to pay that balance due without interest and penalties. Mm-hmm. But then they took it one step further the following week and said, not only can you pay late, but you can actually file late. You have up until July 15, 2020 to file your 2019 federal income tax return, and you will not be penalized for filing late. So that was quite a relief for many individual taxpayers, filers, because remember, a lot of these people didn't have all the documents, they didn't have the funds to file and to pay their balances due. So having a 3-month extension was welcome relief for many of these individuals. It applies not only to individual tax 2019 tax filings, but it also applies to things like estimated tax payments. So if someone is paying federal estimated tax payment payments, the first estimated tax payment for 2020 is due April 15th. So that filing was extended to that estimated tax payment filing deadline was extended to July 15th as well. Mm.
Okay.
Best part about this is that that individual doesn't have to do anything. Normally, if you get an extension to file your taxes, you have to go through a formal process of filing a form for IRS form 4868, and if you have a balance due, you got to pay anything due with the extension. Not the case with this with this latest IRS announcement, notice 2020-18.
Okay, and folks, what's really funny here is Ed actually answered questions that I had written down to ask before I even got to this. So that's how thorough he is. Okay, back to you, Ed.
I just want to mention, though, that if someone lives in a state that has an income tax and has to file a state income tax return, this IRS notice does not apply to states. States have to make their own announcements regarding extensions of filing and payment. I know we live here in Maryland, but there are many listeners who live in D.C. and Virginia, and those states have made some announcements regarding when individual tax filers can when individuals in those states. What the deadline is to file the state income tax returns as well as payments, and I think we posted that announcement up on the on FEDSO. If that is correct.
Yep.
Okay, so they can check there rather than trying to remember what that information is and make a mistake. I'd rather have listeners go up and listen and check the website.
Okay. Good.
And one other thing, I just want to mention that in addition to having an extension to July 15, 2020 to file your taxes and to pay taxes due, individual filers get a 3-month extension to make their 2019 IRA contributions for 2019. In other words, the deadline is normally April 15th, but now you have a 3-month extension to make that contribution for 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Again,
okay,
without having to file any forms with the IRS. Not only for IRAs, but also those individuals, those federal employees who own health savings accounts, they had normally up to April 15th, 2020 to contribute to their HSA account for 2019. Now that deadline has also been extended to July 15th.
Oh, that's great. And now we're up to 5 of the questions that I was going to ask that Ed was able to get to. Ed, it's amazing. I have no idea how you keep all this in your head. So let's go into a couple of situations that the people might pop into. So if one of our feds has already filed their federal return and they were planning on making the payment by the 15th, do they get an extension?
Yes, they do. Now, I want to mention what has happened to a few of my clients. As you mentioned, Dan, I do have a tax practice.
Yep.
And I have prepared and filed a few of the returns on behalf of my clients. That is, I do electronic filing. And mm-hmm. one of the options in electronic filing is you can specify the date in which, if you have a balance due, that the IRS will take the money out of an account that you specify. Mm-hmm. That's part of the electronic filing process. Well, I already filed these returns and specified the dates in which the money is coming out of the account. Now the IRS comes and says, well, no, you have a deadline of July 15th. It's been extended. So the client's asking, can we change that? Can we change that the original debit date? And the IRS came out with an announcement. They said, yes, you can.
Wow.
And I have that information. I have that information that if individual wants to change the date that the money is coming out of an account to pay the 2019 federal income tax balance due, the number, I'm going to say it slowly, is the person has to call, or the filer can do it, the person who filed the return on behalf of the client can call this number. This is an IRS number. It is 1-888-353-4537. Again, 1-888-353-4537. And again, just the IRS person will ask information about who's calling and they want the person's social security number, the original balance due, bank information, things like that, to verify that it's that they had the correct person they're talking to and the right account.
Sure.
I did it yesterday on behalf of a client. It's a very easy process, but I do want to mm-hmm. point out that all the IRS is doing is we cannot change the date now. If you want to do another date to have that money coming out in the future, we cannot do that here on the phone. You have to do that on your own. Mm-hmm. And I have a site in which a person can go to get that. That's also on the web, on the IRS website. You can go to the IRS website, www.irs.gov, and just key in the word direct pay. It'll take you to the section where you actually can go in there and specify a date in which the money will come out of your of the account to pay the 2019 federal income tax balance due. So it's a two-step process in order to change your date and payment date.
Wow, that's great, Ed. Thanks for the detail on that. And folks, again, be sure to read Ed's articles and blogs on this in the Fed Zone, because it goes into even more detail, and sometimes it's easier to read it than it is to copy from a podcast. Now, Ed, obviously, being able to postpone filing and paying taxes is going to be a great relief for individuals and families being affected, because you know whether you have been touched by directly by the disease, or if you're just in home shelter and things like that, you're certainly affected by it. Are there any negatives that go along with this? Like, you know, what if somebody who's expecting a refund, they don't want to delay it, do they?
Yes. If you're expecting a refund, you want to file as soon as possible. The IRS is trying to get refunds paid out within 21 days of their receiving the return. They're making every
wow.
effort. This is especially true for electronically filed returns. Most people do file electronically. So I just want to mention, if they're expecting a refund from IRS, then they really should try to file as soon as possible and not wait in order to get the refund. Now, Dan, this is going to create a dilemma for some people. And let mm-hmm. me give you the scenario. Suppose you live in a state that has a state income tax, like Maryland, Virginia, the District of Columbia, mm-hmm. and you are due a refund on your state income tax return, but you owe the federal government, IRS, you have a balance due.
Ooh, call on me. Say, I know the answer on this one, Ed.
What do you think the answer is, Dan?
Okay. I'm going to guess.
What do you mean, Dan? It's going to be Dan.
I'm going to guess that I can't file my state return on time to get my refund and then delay my Fed.
You're exactly right.
Oh, yes. I'm so happy when I can answer one of yours.
Because the states piggyback on the federal return. So you're going to have to, I mean, if you want to file the federal return and delay your balance due, that's fine. But then you can go ahead and file the state return, and this way you can get your refund. And then hopefully the money will be there to pay your federal balance due.
Sure.
So
gotcha.
Now, and again, you have to check with your state if it's just the opposite scenario. You're going to get a refund from the federal government, but you owe the state. You'll have to find out what the deadline will be for filing on the state return and paying on the state return.
Gotcha.
So there are a couple scenarios here you need to be aware of.
Hey, Ed, I want to loop back to your earlier summary, which, by the way, was excellent, to just touch on quarterly estimated taxes, because, you know, most of our feds who are employed, they're paid through payroll deduction, but our retired feds, many of them are making the quarterly. So just loop back through that again, as far as what extension they're getting.
Okay, so if you are an individual, maybe an employee has to pay quarterly estimate taxes because you have outside income that is not subject to federal income tax withholding. Example, you're highly invested in the stock market. You buy stocks, you trade stocks, you have mutual funds, exchange traded funds, and there's dividends being paid out. You buy bonds, corporate bonds, you're getting interest income. And you had a pretty good year in 2019. There was a lot of income being generated, interest income, dividend income, capital gain income, which is not subject to withholding. There's a good chance that you may have had to pay quarterly estimated taxes in 2019. Until now we were having a pretty good year, in the stock market. Just putting aside what's happened over the last few weeks, the intention was for 2020 that you're gonna have a good year. Maybe you had some other income, like rental income, that was not also subject to withholding. So you have to pay estimated taxes because the IRS does not want to get paid a big lump sum balance due at the end of the year. They want to get paid throughout the year. That's why we have withholding from our paychecks, so the IRS can get their taxes every couple weeks, because they don't want to wait to the end of the year to be paid in a lump sum payment for all the payroll taxes and that come out of employees' paychecks. Anyhow,
gotcha.
So you're an employee who has to pay estimated taxes, and this happens, as you mentioned, Dan, many times with the retirees because they don't have enough or any federal taxes coming out of their retirement income. Typically, a lot of people are under withheld. So what they do is, and their accountants advise them, well, you have to pay quarterly estimated taxes because the IRS, again, wants to get its fair share of its taxes spread throughout the year. They don't want to wait to the end of the year when you file your taxes to get a payment for any balances due. So you pay quarterly, and when I say quarterly, you pay IRS on April 15th, June 15th, September 15th, and the following January 15th. Those for the four quarters of the year in which you received this investment income, retirement income that was either not subject to withholding or there was insufficient withholding. Well, the first estimated tax payment for 2020 is due April 15th. And again, with IRS notice 2020-18, that payment deadline was extended to July 15th. However, the second estimated tax payment for 2020 is due on June 15th. The IRS has not announced anything about extending that payment deadline. So if you decide I'm going to wait until July 15th to pay my estimated taxes for the first quarter of 2020, you got to remember you're going to have to pay on June 15th, and then 30 days later you got to turn around and pay another payment. There might be a chance you may not have the sufficient funds to pay those estimated taxes.
Gotcha.
So I think it'd be a good idea, in spite of the fact that you're extended 3 months to pay that first estimated tax payment, that you should make every effort to pay it as close to April 15th or at least within, let's say, 30 days. Do it before May 15th to get the first payment out of the way. And then this way you'll hopefully have a sufficient amount of money to pay June 15th and the June 15th the payment. And then come September, that's 3 months away, you definitely will have the funds to pay September 15th and the following January 15th.
Sure.
So don't look at the extension as, well, this is great, I got 3 months to worry about it. You know, you got to think about the whole year here as far as those estimated taxes, because the IRS does impose penalties if you didn't pay a sufficient amount of estimated taxes in a timely fashion.
Gotcha. Okay, well, let's keep moving. Now, some of our folks may be in a situation where they're doing amended returns and things like that. Maybe they've got refunds coming from previous years. Any impact with this change for them?
Actually, the IRS notice 2020-18 only applies to 2019 taxes.
Okay.
You got to be careful here if you are a someone who filed a 2016 federal income tax return, and you found out that there's something wrong on that return that's in your favor, and as a result of that you're due a refund, you are going to amend your 2016 taxes, and you're going to get a refund. Well, listeners should be aware that the statute of limitations for filing a tax return when it comes to refunds is the earlier of 3 years from the original due date of that tax return, or 2 years from the time that you amended it. So the 2016 federal tax returns were due on April 15th, 2017. Now, Dan, can you do some math here and project 3 years? What does that deadline mean for filing an amended return to get a refund?
2017 goes to 2020.
Hey, April 15th, 2017.
Yep.
Let's move forward 3 years. We're gonna go from the original deadline, April 15th, 2017, and go exactly 3 years forward. What is that April 15th? What year is that?
April 15th, 2020. Yep.
IRS is not extending that deadline, that statute of limitation deadline.
Okay.
So somebody who needs to amend their 2016 return, or, believe it or not, there are individuals who never filed their 2016 returns.
Oopsie.
And their refunds. IRS comes out with this announcement every year. There's billions of dollars sitting out there of refunds from people who did not file their original return for this particular year, and if they don't file the return, they're going to lose the refund.
Wow.
So I'm sure that's not the case with most of our listeners. They did file a 2016 return, but if they have any recollection that they're due a refund on their 2016 return, okay, they need to get that return amended in order to get that refund, or else they're going to lose the refund. I wouldn't give an example. I have a client. I got a new client this year, and she's been doing her own taxes, but unfortunately she made some mistakes. And again, in her favor, not the government's favor.
Sure.
So I said to her, you know, if we amend the returns, you're going to get money back, refunds from the IRS, and in this case, in the state that she lives. And we're going back to the year 2016. That's when she started doing her taxes, 2016. So it turned out she made a big mistake in her return, again, in her favor, not in the government's. Again, she's due refund. And I work feverishly to get that return finished so that it's going to be submitted by next week. Busy as I am doing 2019 return, I told her I'll do the 2016 return. We have to fix the 2017 return to the 2018 return, but we can do that after the 15th, April 15th, 2020.
Gotcha.
It turns out I finished it last night. She's due a refund. Hold on to your seat, Dan.
I'm holding.
$1,287, and the IRS is going to pay interest on that.
Wow.
Okay, because they were holding the money. And from the state, she's getting a refund of $450.
Wow.
Again,
you're her favorite person, Ed. you are definitely her favorite person.
There's one other deadline that individuals should be aware of. I don't think it affects a lot of people out there. But as you know, with the Secure Act, the deadline for taking your first year required minimum distribution from traditional IRAs and retirement plans, including the TSP, is April 1st following the year you turn 70 and a half. It was changed to age 72,
yep.
The law is only the new law only applies to individuals who were born after June 30th, 1949. If you were born before July 1st, 1949, the Secure Act does not, in this case, does not apply to you. In particular, anybody who turned 70 and a half during 2019,
mm-hmm.
and I'll translate what that means. You were born between July 1st, 1948, and June 30th, 1949. That means you turned 70 and a half during 2019. Your deadline for taking your first year RMD is April 1st, 2020. That's less than a week away. If you didn't take your RMD, IRS is not extending that one. You better get it out there. You better take out that RMD before April 1st, 2020, or else you're going to be subject to a 50% excess accumulation penalty by the IRS.
Wow.
So that deadline was not extended.
Okay. All right. One of the things you did for our feds, Ed, and us in the Fed Zone, is you put together a nice little Q&A about some of these things. And so want to take a few minutes on that, and we're in the process of getting that up on in the Fed Zone at stwserve.com. You'll find it at blog, blog.stwserve.com. And some of the stuff that we're going to talk about, we're not necessarily going to cover the various forms. You will see the list of forms within that as well. And so from that Q&A, I thought a couple of things might be helpful for us to touch on within this. Within your Q&A, you have the term affected taxpayer, and there are a number of definitions to that. Why don't you touch on that real quick, Ed? What's an affected taxpayer as far as this is concerned?
Well, to be an effective taxpayer, you do not have to be actually in quarantine. You don't have to have been affected by the coronavirus. Anybody, any individual is considered to be an effective taxpayer in the sense that you are able to have an extended filing and payment date for your taxes. You don't have to be, God forbid, in the hospital or quarantine. It's for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But also okay. Anybody who's working, is fortunate, is still working, going to work. They're also considered to be an effective individual as far as being able to file and pay their, have an extension for filing and extending the payment date for their taxes.
Okay, and do these extensions impact gift or estate taxes?
Well, when it comes to the gift tax return, the gift tax return is also due. Someone has to file a gift tax return for 2019. That's due April 15th. That's also extended. And an estate tax return is normally due, if I remember correctly, 6 months after, 9 months after the person passed away. There was no mention about extending that. I rather doubt it. That's my guess, because that's a pretty firm date.
Okay. And does the extension have any impacts on people making installment taxes from previous years?
The IRS is not going to charge interest or additional penalties for not making the installment payment on time. Okay, they have the payments that were due, let's say between April 15th and July 15th, can be made after July 15th without any penalties or interest.
Wow, you know, I gotta say that the IRS is being super accommodating on this, and you know, I think, you know, they're feds too, folks. So a lot of times they get a bum rap on this, but they are really, really stepping up. Okay,
they really do have a heart and soul, Dan.
Yep.
I've only had good experience.
Agreed. You know, I'm blessed to serve a whole lot of folks that work in Treasury and the IRS, and they're fantastic people. Okay, so Ed, let's wrap it up with a couple of rapid-fire questions. So I haven't filed my income tax return yet, but I expect to file by July 15th. Do I have to do anything extra besides file by July 15th?
No, you do not. No forms have to be filed. Extension forms have to be filed. You don't have to call the IRS. Okay. Now, if you need an extension beyond July 15th, then you're going to have to file the form 4868 for an extension if you feel you're going to owe and you're going to have to pay any balance due when you file the extension. The extension would allow you to file your taxes on October 15, 2020. That's the filing deadline for 2019 taxes. I do want to mention, if you expect a refund, though, you actually do not have to file that paper extension.
Gotcha.
Again, the paper extension is only for people who or think they're going to owe, but they have to pay that balance, that amount that they think they're going to owe with the extension.
Okay. Now let's say that I think I'm going to be okay to file on the 15th of July. So I go past the April 15th, where traditionally I would have filed for my extension. You know, I get to mid June. I say, oops, you know, I think I'm going to have to get an extension. Can I still file that by July 15th?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, you have to. You have to.
Okay.
If you want the extension on July 15th, you're going to have to file that extension sometime before July 15th your filing. But I want to emphasize, an extension is the file. If you owe anything, you're going to have to pay with your extension what the amount that you think you're going to owe.
Yep, makes sense. Okay, and last, let's say hypothetically, I've already filed my 2019 income tax return, but I haven't paid yet. What do I have to do to avoid? Do I need to do anything to avoid any interest and penalties, or do I just end up remitting on July 15th?
You do not have to do anything. You just make sure that you pay for July 15th. Again, I mentioned earlier about that direct pay, Dan. All you got to do is go on the IRS website and do the direct pay to make arrangements to have your payment done directly out of your bank account. It's very easy to do.
That's awesome.
If I could say one more thing, make one other suggestion, Dan, for our listeners, and I think you as a registered representative and you supervise with through Raymond James, many, many reps who come to your office, clients come to your offices, your reps go out to clients, and individuals make their IRA contributions,
mm-hmm.
that if anybody wants to take advantage of this 3-month extension to make their IRA contribution for 2019, it makes no difference whether it's traditional IRA or Roth IRA or both, because you can put up to $6,000 into an IRA for 2019, $7,000 mm-hmm. if you're over 50. You can mix it up, traditional Roth, as long as the total contribution does not exceed $6,000 or $7,000. What I tell my clients, if they want to make a contribution, here it is. We're in the first three and a half months of this new year, 2020, and you want to make a contribution for 2019. Please tell your financial advisor that the contribution is for 2019 and not for 2020. You got to
Good
be
point.
Very specific. And this is all the more important now that you got the extra 3 months to make that contribution, because now we're
sure.
going past almost half. We'll pass half the year of the extension, so you have to be very specific and tell your advisor that contribution is for 2019 and not for 2020.
That's great advice. That's great advice. Okay, folks, that's a wrap for this first part. Ed and I will be back for part two, as we're going to talk through TSP with withdrawal, tax implications of that, that sort of thing. Ed and I will continue to keep coming back as part of our mission to reach, teach, and serve you. We are serving those who serve. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast on your YouTube channel. And if you are listening to it on YouTube, we are now on Spotify. Yes, we're coming up in the world. So if you want to go over and listen to us there, that's probably easier for it, for you to share it with friends and strangers, because in this time, we're kind of all one people. There are no strangers, so be sure to share it. Lots of folks can benefit from this. And, you know, we have we're seeing the numbers go up. We have regular listeners now, so if you think one of your Fed friends will enjoy this, text them the link. And if each one will reach one, we can help more and more Feds every single day. Right, Ed?
That's right. Absolutely.
And so check us on Twitter and LinkedIn. Don't forget our seminars. We are paused for the moment, okay, to be good citizens and exercise social distancing. But we have them lined up down the backside of the year. We are adding locations. We are going to be there for you. We're there for you now. We're pumping out content as fast as we can. We're coming up with new ways to reach you by video and everything else. We are going to come out of this even better in our abilities to reach, teach, and serve you. We are not going to back off on that. So if you want to know about the seminars that are upcoming, and God willing, we'll be able to hold them. If not, we will continue to do the responsible thing and just continue to build out. So once we are on the other side of this, and we will get there. Remember, we've got that 1,000 batting average as a society. So that's at stwserve.com for seminars and events. And be sure to read Ed. And now you can read him every single week in the Fed Zone. And he's popping out little extra things in here. So he's really doing his part to help you. And that's at blog.stwserve.com and also at fed-zone.com. So for Ed, the crew at Serving Those Who Serve, and me, Dan Seip, good luck. Godspeed. Above all, remember, it's your Fed life. Make it a great one, because you deserve it. Stay safe, stay well, everyone. We are out.
Thank you for listening to the Fed Life Podcast. Click the subscribe button below to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Serving Those Who Serve or Raymond James. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investing advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified financial service provider with any questions you may have regarding your investment planning. Securities offered through Raymond James Financial Services Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Raymond James Financial Services Advisors Incorporated. Serving Those Who Serve is not a registered broker dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services.
Raymond James is not affiliated and does not endorse the opinions or services of any of the quoted professionals or their respective firms. Any opinions are those of Dan Seip and not necessarily those of RJFS or Raymond James. This case study is for illustrative purposes only. Individual cases will vary. Raymond James is not affiliated with and does not endorse the opinions or services of the quoted professionals or their respective organizations.
Neither Raymond James Financial Services nor any Raymond James financial advisor renders advice on tax issues. These matters should be discussed with the appropriate professional. Investing involves risk, and you may incur a profit or loss regardless of strategy selected, including diversification and asset allocation.